Hey guys, welcome to episode 95 of Fit Friends Happy Hour. Today we're going to dive deep into hunger hormones and how does stress and cortisol and all these hormones that you may have heard about, how do they influence your eating and what can you do about it? You know, like that time where you've been on your period and you thought, boy, I really am craving chocolate. Is that your head? Is it your stomach? What's going on? All right, on to the show.
Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour with your hosts, Katie Hake and Lauren Wrighton.
We've been talking a lot about stress lately. I don't know if that's good or bad.
I know. It's one of those things that I don't love to talk about because it's like feels like if you talk about it, it's then going to just grow in your head. But at the same time, it's a realistic topic that we're all trying to manage stress. And the intersection of stress and eating is really interesting. I mean, I know through some of this research that we've been doing, not all of the answers that we were looking for have factual answers yet. Yeah, or are black and white. So I think that makes it even more interesting.
I know just from the majority of clients and patients that I see, stress is pretty high in most people's life. There actually was a survey done by the American Psychological Association that stated that 1/4 of Americans rate stress as an 8 on a scale of 1 to 10. And like, that's pretty high. 8 out of 10, that's some stress.
Yeah, and then that makes me wonder if the average person is on an 8 most times, then are they really even recognizing the effect of stress on their appetite? Because it's like almost just their baseline.
Yeah, exactly. So today we're going to identify not just stress. We've talked a lot about on previous episodes the sources of stress in your life and how to manage that stress, but we're more so going to relate this to eating and what's this actual science that's going on that affects our eating when we're stressed. Like, what is the hormonal effects on our body when it comes to these outside environmental factors in our life?
And we'll talk about tangible takeaways so that you can start to recognize how this is affecting you and you know, you can make small improvements over time. So, Katie, have you noticed stress making a big impact on your appetite?
Definitely. And I think this has evolved, learning more about intuitive eating and more so being able to manage stress, looking at the difference between the short-term effect of stress on my eating as well as the long-term effect, because those are different.
Yeah, I agree. Intuitive eating helps a lot with this. And there's definitely like times that, especially when I'm putting the girls down for naps, when it gets stressful, that I walk out of the rooms and it's around lunchtime. So I think, oh, I'm really hungry. But then I'll notice that like I had eaten earlier. So I'm probably not hungry. And so like recognizing these like triggers, or sometimes I can tell when it's head hunger per se versus true hunger. Okay, so let's take a step back and start off with what is cortisol?
Basically, when the brain detects any sort of stress, like you are in a stressful situation, whether it's trying to get the girls down for a nap or you're sitting in traffic, like something that's making your blood boil, right? What happens is the brain then triggers a series of hormones. So first it triggers epinephrine, which we know as adrenaline, which then causes a release of corticotropin releasing hormone. We'll call that CRH, which then triggers cortisol. So a lot of times you hear that word cortisol, which is kind of the last hormone to be triggered in regards to stress.
So I know I can often tell when it's short-term stress, like it's just a stressful situation. It's not long-term stress. So what's the hormonal difference between that type of short-term stress, like an event, versus long-term stress?
So often short-term stress actually leads to suppressed appetite, so not being hungry. So think you are trying to meet a deadline or you're really focused on something. Like think of when you've been so busy but in a good way, like a good busy that you forgot to eat, or just super involved in a project where you keep creating, and before you know it, time goes on and you missed a meal. That's due to this effect of cortisol in the short-term stress. So the appetite is suppressed because the nervous system, your brain, is telling the adrenal glands in your kidneys to pump out that epinephrine or the adrenaline. Think of like fight or flight, which is basically putting your hunger on hold, right? Your body's saying, okay, there's this stressful thing going on. It's short term. I need to focus on this first. So I can't deal with listening to this hunger bothering me and getting me in the way from finishing this thing that's right in front of me right now. So that's actually the corticotropin releasing hormone. Remember what I said, CRH? That's actually the hormone that suppresses your hunger, allowing us to focus on that immediate stressor.
Gotcha. Okay, so that's short-term stress. That's just like a stressful event has happened. Our body is not thinking about eating. Okay, let's talk about long-term stress.
So typically, if let's say you've got that deadline and you're super creative and in that moment, your appetite's suppressed, right? That usually happens. Well, if let's say you get more projects put on you and that stress just keeps getting longer and longer and longer, you know, over days, weeks, months, that turns into that longer term stress. And in that case, the adrenal glands start to release that cortisol versus the CRH, which leads to an increase in appetite. And there's actually more motivation or more of that desire to eat.
And when you say that, do you mean that there's actually like a physical appetite increase and then like mentally you want to eat as well? That's two like kind of separate things.
So we're going to get into talking about appetite versus hunger because those are two very distinct things. And I think it's super interesting and important to recognize the difference. But when I was researching more about this episode and kind of looking at the science, it was kind of mixed, which was interesting. So there was some studies that do link, you know, changes in your actual food selection when you have higher cortisol levels. So there was a 2010 study that actually injected people with the CRH. Remember, that's the hormone that triggers the release of cortisol, which increases your appetite or increases your desire to eat. And those who were injected, therefore releasing more cortisol, actually ate more. So some studies do believe that cortisol may have an effect on your appetite and therefore your cravings, right? So we're saying that our hormones influence our food choices. So you may ask, do our food choices influence our hormones? Well, there was another study where two groups of people were fed a meal. One had a higher protein meal, one had a higher carbohydrate meal, which a lot of times with stress eating, we think cookies, cakes, chips, breads, all the sweet stuff, right? So one group had high protein, one group had high carb. Then they took, it was some sort of test, right? And so not everybody, but I know I myself, if I have to take a test automatically, my stress level goes up. But you know that's short-term stress because the test will end. After this test, both groups had no changes in cortisol levels. So they basically had the same results, therefore saying that the macronutrient distribution, right, the different breakup of the foods that they ate didn't necessarily cause that cortisol hormone to increase or decrease.
Okay. So to kind of like wrap that all up into a takeaway, basically what you're saying is that the hormones that come from stress, they do affect our eating. But if we're just eating, that's not going to then affect our hormones, which makes sense. Like if you have a sandwich that might be higher in carbs, you're not going to then feel more stressed.
You got it.
So that kind of is contradictory to what mainstream diet culture is really teaching us. I mean, I've heard 1,000 times that whatever you eat then changes like how you feel and what you'll then choose later to eat. So that is very interesting.
And if you're interested, we could do a whole another episode on breaking down more of the hormones, but we would be here all night. If you're listening to this and you're really interested in learning more about it, some that you may want to look up and learn more about ghrelin, which is the hunger hormone, and leptin, which is the hormone that satiates you. Those are super interesting too, but that's for another show.
Yeah, we love talking about the science, but we know that like listening to science is hard. Reading it, I think, is so much easier to comprehend. So sometimes listening to like us spiel about science, it's like, whoa, 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 I need less. So just a little dose for today. But let's move on to, since we're talking about cravings and hormones, we have to talk about how we eat on our period. So are those cravings real when you're menstruating.
I think because of what we just learned about how our hormones fluctuate, obviously there's a hormonal fluctuation that's going on when you're on your cycle. So I think they can influence it, yes. But I also think that society and just like the whole marketing around that time of the month, I think it's a society thing and just part of our culture that that's what we do, that we feel like we need to eat, you know, certain foods around that time of month. So I don't know if I agree 100%.
Yeah, some of the research I was doing on this specifically was talking about chocolate, because that's where our mind goes when you think of like period cravings is chocolate. And it said that there could be a link, because your body might be needing more magnesium that you could get from dark chocolate. But number one, people eat any chocolate they want. They're not necessarily eating the chocolate they need to be eating if that's the case. But it said that the occurrence of this was way higher in like third generation Americans, so like all of us, versus people in other countries. Like, they're not eating chocolate on their period. Therefore, like you said, it's more about that society standard.
Now, your hunger is, I mean, that's what can be a real thing when you're on your period, because think about like when you give blood, that is using up a lot of calories. Calories are energy, right? So when you're on your period, you're losing blood basically. So your body's working a lot harder in a sense. But I almost don't even want to say that, because I bet you listening, your brain went to, well, I'm on my period, I am working harder, therefore expending more calories, so I need to eat to make up those calories. And I think sometimes that gets in the back of our head too.
Yeah, but I think another lesson here though is that as far as fitness goes, like on your period, this is a different subject, but is that your body is rebuilding and working on something else that it's not usually working on. So, you know, taking it easy and recognizing that maybe those cravings are from stress, physical stress, emotional stress from being on your period. So just taking more rest during that time, I think, is really important.
Oh my gosh, yes. Sleep is always a good idea. But an example of long-term stress would be chronic sleep deprivation. So if over time you're averaging 4 to 6 hours of sleep, I mean, while in that short time you may deal with it, it might not bother you, but if you're doing that long-term, there definitely can be shifts in your hormone, your cell repair, like how everything rebuilds. So much happens overnight when we're sleeping that if you're missing out on that long-term, that can have some damaging effects for sure.
Yeah, and that makes me want to do a whole episode on sleep, because I think you and I are so unique that we're like, hustle meets a good night's sleep. Like, we want to hustle, but we also really, really value our sleep. So if you guys want to hear a full episode on sleep, then let us know, because I would be totally up for that.
Okay, we've tackled short-term stress, long-term stress. We've talked about cortisol. Let's jump back to talking about appetite versus hunger. So appetite is the desire for food. This comes on quickly. I always think you're walking through the mall and you smell Cinnabon. Like, I don't even eat Cinnabon, but when you walk by it and you smell it, you automatically think, I want a Cinnabon.
Yeah, and we were just talking about this the other day, because we went to the zoo Halloween event together, and they were selling popcorn in this zoo house, which I felt like they were just selling food at the Halloween thing. It was odd, but they were selling popcorn, and we walked in and like it didn't smell like popcorn. They had already made it. It was already prepackaged, and I thought, wait, like 90% of the reason that you eat popcorn is because it smells awesome. So yes. Also, I love the smell of Cinnabon.
But do you ever buy a Cinnabon?
No, and mainly because I only go to like the fancy mall around here that doesn't have stuff like that. It's just like everyone walking around in Burberry. There's no Cinnabons. So it's been a while since I've smelled it.
So let's say you go to the not so fancy mall and you walk by a Cinnabon. You smell that. You think, oh my gosh, I really want that. And you kind of get this strong desire or urge for maybe not Cinnabon, but maybe something sweet. That's considered your appetite. Or in other words, what we call a lot, cravings. On the flip side, hunger is an actual physical response. It's the body becoming weak because you actually have the need to eat. You're going a super long stretch of time without eating. Like, you are hungry. You feel that in your stomach. The body's giving a response.
Yeah, and question for you, Katie. I've heard before that like a good way to tell between appetite and hunger is that when you're truly hungry, your brain will want any food. You're like, give me the chicken breast, give me the broccoli, give me the popcorn, like whatever it is. Versus if it's just your appetite, then you're really craving or desiring like a specific type of food. Is that a good way? Is that like a good rule of thumb to tell between the two?
Oh, definitely. Right? If you're hungry, you'll eat whatever's there because you physically want to calm that physical sensation that's going on in your body. Appetite comes and goes. Let's dive deep a little bit more to really help you identify the difference between appetite and hunger. So again, remember, appetite is quick. It comes on suddenly. Think visual, smells, things that will trigger that ravenous feeling to just pig out.
So diet culture tells us to ignore anything that comes from our appetite and to only eat when we're really hungry. So we are too smart for that. We know that we should honor our appetite. But how can we do that without going overboard or falling into more of using food as a crutch?
It definitely is a process to identify the difference between these two, especially if you've been ignoring those signals from your body for so long. It takes time to get back in tune. So let's really, again, try to identify the major differences between appetite and hunger. So remember, appetite comes on strongly and very suddenly, whereas hunger, it's going to occur over some time, maybe hours, maybe I would say like 20, 30 minutes, depending what you ate and when you ate. But hunger takes time. Appetite is going to require instant satisfaction. So you're going to have to eat right away to satisfy the appetite or that craving. Hunger, think you're driving home and there's nowhere to eat for the next 10, 20 miles, however long till you get home. You can wait until food is available.
I was just experiencing this today. I was on my way home from going on a walk and I had a Lar bar sitting next to me and I was really hungry, but I'd already ate a Lar bar that day. And like, I have no issues with eating more than one Lar bar in a day. Like I would do that if I wanted to, but it just didn't sound good because like, I already had had one. So instead I could tell that I was actually hungry because I said no. Instead I wanted like a full meal when I got home. So that's hunger, right?
Yeah, I think that's part of honoring your hunger, but you didn't have the appetite for a Lar bar.
Yeah, and I wanted something that I knew was going to like actually fill my stomach instead of just something like kind of a quick fix, which the Lar bar would have given me. But it also would have like kind of ruined my dinner appetite because it was dinner time.
Yeah, exactly. So in a sense, you were still honoring your appetite. So again, remember, appetite is easily influenced by different smells, visuals, advertisements, whereas hunger is going to occur naturally regardless of what you see or hear or smell. Appetite, you're going to crave specific, typically comfort foods. So think salty, sweet, fatty foods, greasy foods. Like, for example, when you're on your period, you want the sweet chocolate.
Or for me, I'm really into like Ritz right now and just like salty and buttery basically. So like when I see them, I immediately think of just like that salt that's such a strong flavor. And so, yeah, it's like, just think of whatever salty food you like. And you're like, yeah, I get it.
And then hunger, you're open to eating more of a variety of foods for satisfaction, right? So a perfect example is that you were hungry, but honoring that when you could have eaten the Lar bar, but you were open to having more of a wide variety at your actual next meal.
Okay, so we know the difference between appetite and hunger. Now, let me give you a scenario. So you just ate lunch. And you stop by your mom's house after lunch and she made your favorite dessert. So immediately you realize like, oh, that sounds amazing. I know it's my appetite and not real hunger because I just had lunch. And this is like my favorite dessert from childhood. So through intuitive eating, we want to be able to honor that craving. We want to honor that appetite. So how can we do that in a way? What would you recommend your next moves be in that situation?
I think a couple strategies that you could take. One, you could eat the amount that you want and know that you may feel a little more full or uncomfortable because you just had that meal and be okay with that, right? That's not wrong. So that's honoring your appetite, which is okay. But also honoring your hunger is okay too, to say, I'm going to have a taste now, and then I'm going to take some for later when I have a little bit more room and I know I'm going to enjoy it a lot more. So there's not really a right or wrong way to do it.
I love that. And it's making me realize just how far that I've come personally. I always have to bring it back to me, I feel like. But, you know, you used to say stuff like this on the podcast like a year ago. And I'd be like, dude, I could never like take it home. I could never like see a cookie and like take it home. But now I totally would. Like, I'm a new person when it comes to this kind of thing. Like, I'm just thinking, like, my mom makes the best zucchini bread. I'm obsessed. It's like 95% sugar, 1% zucchini. But like, that's what I was thinking of when you started talking, was like, I probably wouldn't have any, and I would just take like a whole loaf home and then eat it over the course of the week and enjoy the heck out of it.
I think that is a process. Like you said, you weren't in that place a year ago. It's that process of giving yourself that unconditional permission to eat and enjoy foods whenever, right? If you have this craving and in your head you think, well, I can only have this chocolate because I'm on my period, and you kind of give yourself this time frame. So I've got to eat all the chocolate now, because in my head, I can't have chocolate if I'm not on my period, if I don't have a reason to eat it. And when you say it out loud, it sounds kind of silly.
I don't think it sounds silly. That's what I used to think. Like, I mean, yeah, whether it was like a real conscious thought or it just felt like the rule, that's definitely what was in my head. So I definitely agree with that. I mean, I would even have weird rules of like, well, if I'm at my mom's house, I can have like as many cookies as I want, but like I can't bring any home because then I can't be trusted with them. And then they're at my house, and like then I have cookies in my house, and I don't want to ever have cookies in my house because my pantry has to be clean, blah, blah, blah. So then I would eat obscene amount at her house knowing that like I wasn't allowed to have any at my house. I couldn't have any later. So yeah, it is definitely a work in progress though. Like, you really do have to give yourself that unconditional love and permission, like you said.
If you relate to that feeling of all or nothing, the all or nothing mindset when it comes to cravings and like really listening to your body, I challenge you to start keeping a detailed food journal. Now, not my Fitness Pal. We had an episode, I think, titled that I hate my Fitness Pal. So I'm asking you to do good old pen to paper. And rather than just writing what you eat, see if you can identify some of the emotions or stressors or triggers or how you feel. Like write down how food makes you feel, both physically and also mentally. You're going to be surprised at what you recognize.
Yeah, this is an exercise that I could definitely do. I have been trying better at recognizing it during the day, but it's hard to not like, if you're going to write it down, you're going to think about it more, because you're going to just sit there and write and actually think. Whereas I've just been trying to think out loud, like just think and not write it down. So yeah, I could definitely benefit from that exercise.
And if you want to take it a step further, once you've identified some of those situations or the emotions that you feel, try to work on some other ways to either cope with that thing that's stressing you out, or like just try different things rather than responding with food, or maybe respond with food with a different mindset and see how that experiences as well.
Yeah, my example for that, going back to the whole putting the girls down for nap time and realizing if I'm hungry or not, I usually am hungry because like I said, it's usually around lunchtime, but I don't like to like immediately go and make my food because I am like a little bit like verklempt is the best way to put it. You know, not stressed necessarily, but I'm just like, ugh, you know, whatever. And so I like to just sit on the couch and just chill. Like, either I don't even like to go through my social media at that point. Like, I just like to chill. Sometimes I'll read the Bible. Sometimes I'll read something that is going to motivate me or like kind of chill me out for a second. And then I can go make my lunch and I feel more relaxed because I don't like eating lunch rushed. And if I ever have the chance to eat a relaxed lunch, like, I'm going to take you up on it.
Love that. It's all about bringing that mindfulness back and just giving yourself a break. Okay, Lauren, with the topic of holiday season in mind and talking about all this comfort food, what is like your favorite meal or food item that your mom would make, or family, whoever? Doesn't have to be your mom.
It was always my mom. My favorite food growing up was, or meal, was called baked spaghetti. And number one, I actually don't usually like pasta, so this is a little bit unusual, but it's like spaghetti noodles with like ground beef, I guess, and cottage cheese baked. And my siblings hated it. Like, they thought it was so gross. The texture was disgusting. And like, when I think about it, the texture is disgusting. Like, there's something about it that is really gross, and I haven't had it in probably 15 years. I want to make it because I want to see if I would like it. But growing up, I loved it, and my siblings hated that I loved it.
That is hilarious. You have to make it and report back. That's your homework this holiday season.
Oh, I so will. Okay, Katie, so what was your favorite childhood food?
Hands down, chicken bundles.
Chicken bundles? Okay, what is this? Is this like a Hot Pocket?
Basically a glorified Hot Pocket. So I think it's crescent rolls and then some sort of like cream cheese and chive and chicken. I honestly don't even know. It's like mystery meat in there. But it's bundled into this cute little crescent roll pocket. Like, oh my gosh, I went crazy for chicken bundles. And I still, to this day, if I go home, I'm like, please make chicken bundles. Once for my birthday, I'll try to find the picture. My mom even like put a heart, cut out a crescent roll like part in a heart and like baked it on top of my chicken bundle. Now, if that's not love, I don't know what is.
Oh my gosh, there is so much there that you just said that I love. But I just want to quote you by saying, I go crazy for chicken bundles.
That and Jell-O cake, but you know that.
I was just going to bring up Jell-O cake. So explain to our audience, this is like the dessert that you have to have on your birthday. Explain Jell-O cake.
It's not like a giant jiggler. I know that's what you're all thinking of, like this giant jiggly mold. Get that picture out of your head. It's, I think, white cake, and then you poke holes in it, and then you pour Jell-O over the top. Again, it's not jiggly. It like soaks up the Jell-O. It sounds so gross. And then you frost it with whipped cream. It is so good. It looks like a party.
Yeah, it kind of looks like confetti, like cake, but it's like spongy. It's like a sponge cake. Okay, that kind of sounds gross too, but like it's, if you know what sponge cake, like angel food cake almost, kind of, where it's like, it's light and Jell-O and cake. It's fine. It's good. I've had it multiple times. Come on, people. Get on board.
Not until you met me.
Correct. I did not have Jell-O cake until I met you. And it was years after we met. So thank you for introducing me.
You're welcome. Well, that is it for today's episode. Thank you so much for your time and tuning in. Stay tuned. We have some exciting announcements coming up next week. Some giveaways that we're going to be doing. Some just like all sorts of excitement. So be sure to hit that subscribe button so you automatically get that podcast downloaded to your phone each Monday and listen in. Bye.
Bye.